question by Chandan Prabhu. We say that the quantity of pleasure and pain that a person gets in a particular lifetime is fixed by destiny. We also say that the more a person becomes attached to sense objects, the more that person suffers. So how do we reconcile that the quantity of suffering is fixed and the quantity of suffering increases? Answer: Srila Prabhupada has clearly explained, based on the Vedic scriptures, that the jiva's free will can change certain things. For example, by our karmic destiny, we may be supposed to live for 60 years, but somebody can commit suicide and end his life prematurely. That means we do have some free will by which certain things can be changed. So now, do we mean that we have changed destiny? We also have to understand that destiny is not necessarily entirely like a frozen catalog. It is more of a pre-decided quantity, not in terms of a measurable quantity, but a broad understanding of the amount which is fixed. So that now for the person who's become a ghost, the remaining quantity of suffering may well come in the remaining 40 years that person was supposed to live in that physical body. That's possible. Or that person may get it more acutely, immediately, and then afterwards soon he may get an ex-body. Whatever, that pattern may vary. But surely, our endeavor in this life, at least in this case, can to some extent change not destiny, but the change the way the destiny unfolds. That means that person was supposed to get a certain kind of suffering and pleasure in the physical, that particular physical body for 60 years. But by destiny, that person ended his body at the age of 20. So in the remaining 40 years, how the destiny would evolve will depend on the change circumstances. So we can change the way destiny evolves. So that means in this life, I can cut down my lifetime if I want. So can I, by my efforts, increase or decrease my suffering by doing something material? Not necessarily. By material, we will rearrange. So something which is supposed to come earlier will come later. And something which is supposed to come later might come earlier. If I try for pleasure, I might be able to avoid suffering. That means my suffering which is supposed to come now will come later. Pleasure that was supposed to come later will come now. But similarly, if I act carelessly and irresponsibly and do bad karma, then I might get some suffering now. So that means, again, the general principle is that the quantity of suffering that we get in one lifetime is fixed. But certain situations can change that, especially the jiva, as I give an example, suicide. Jiva can change certain karmic patterns which are more outlined number of years going to be. But in lesser cases, say somebody gets AIDS because the person doesn't listen to sex. The person gets suffering. Now, was that because of this life karma or that life karma, previous life karma? Well, we can't say. It could well be because of this life karma, or it might be other person's previous life karma. What we do know is that every action brings a reaction. And in general, the quantity of suffering and pleasure that we associate with the body is fixed. But every rule has exceptions. And certain exceptions may work in certain extreme situations. So in general, when we say the more a person attacks, the more a person will suffer, that can mean various levels. One of the biggest problems in understanding suffering is that suffering is not exactly a quantifiable entity. So, India loses a cricket match to Pakistan. There are three people who are living in India. One is a mad cricket fan, completely maddened by cricket. Another is an average cricket fan, excited, but not so mad. And a third has a passing interest. All three watch this cricket match. But all three undergo different quantities of suffering. So now, objectively speaking, we could say that in the first person who was devastated by the match loss. If he had not been so attached, he would not have suffered so much. That is obvious. So then, was the suffering because of, say, India losing to Pakistan, because of some previous life or this life? From the point of view of observation and inference and comparison among these three persons, we could say that it is because of this life cultivated attachment. So now, has this life's cultivated attachment given him some additional suffering? The point is that to answer this question, we need to understand that suffering, for a broad understanding, we might try to quantify it. But if you want to go into the nitty-gritties, it is not exactly quantified. Not exactly quantified. Certainly, there is a principle that for actions, we'll get reactions. And those reactions do have to be, to some extent, proportionate. So it's quite possible that a person's attachment in this life can lead to further suffering in this life. So now, that is to a large extent to the attachment cultivated in this life itself. And overall, the quantity of suffering that a person is going to have is fixed. And if the person is by his own karma increasing the suffering that he is going to get now, that could either be from some other suffering that he was supposed to get, and then what he is going to get, what is created by this, then this will get carried over in the next life. So in that sense, we could say that overall the quantity of suffering doesn't change. So in general, it wouldn't change. But in certain situations, the soul can, because he has free will, make some alterations. So that means, as I said, suicide is one very extreme example. But the whole principle of Vedic culture is that Prabhupada also said in the 14th chapter, that to the extent people live in the mode of goodness, the extent they will be materially happy in the life, but their life will have less miseries. To the extent they live in passion and ignorance, to the extent that miseries will increase in this life, or to speak of the next. That does indicate that the statements which are given, that so the number, the amount of suffering that you're going to get is fixed. Now we shouldn't see that as an absolutely absolute principle, diverge from the broader Vedic philosophy from which it emerges. It emerges from the Vedic philosophy. What does the Vedic philosophy teach? The Vedic philosophy teaches that we, all of us, are responsible for doing our duties. And when we do our duties properly, we grow by that. So we grow means we create better prospects for ourselves in this life as well as the next life. Especially by doing it. So, that's why, rather than absolutizing one principle, we have to understand that this principle has to be balanced with other principles. So the standard example I give for this is that in the 10th canto, Vasudeva is telling Kamsa that ultimately everybody has to die. And if you are destined to die, if you are destined to die because of the 8th son of Devaki, then your endeavor to kill her will not save you. But then Vasudeva does not turn around that argument and think that the Devaki is supposed to die, then my endeavor to save her is not going to help. Why does he do that? Because he is not so much concerned about destiny as about duty. So he knows that it is his duty to protect his wife. And that's why he will do it. He will not blame destiny and say that nothing can be done. On the other hand, Kamsa is deviating from his duty. He has to protect women, he has to protect sister, he has to protect his sister at the time of her marriage, in his 40s. So it's three ways he is deviating from his duty. And that's why one needs to balance. So Vasudeva doesn't use his duty to justify that. He doesn't get into the whole analysis of, if I try to stop Kamsa, maybe the suffering goes to come some other way. Maybe I shouldn't stop Kamsa only because suffering will anyway come some other way. So let us hope. He's not a doctor. It is not a doctrine of apathy and paralysis. It's a doctrine of responsibility with awareness of the broader picture. So specifically what will happen in a particular situation, in general, the broad amount of karma that we get in each life is fixed. But in certain situations, it can be changed.
Can
and it can serve the situation. Other than the example of suicide, it can be changed. And again, if I become attached to something and because of that I suffer, that is something which I am creating in this life itself. I could have avoided it. So I don't have to attribute it all to a previous life. And I don't have to say that I had to become attached. So I didn't have to become attached. You know, say an Indian goes to America and America, say, has rugby as its prominent sport. And an Indian becomes attached to rugby and a local match over there, the local team loses, he becomes heartbroken. He didn't have to do that. He chose to become attached. So the whole principle where Ajamil became so degraded, or Bilwanamal Thakur, he suffered so much when he had to go to the prostitute Chintamani. Chintamani, if only you had become so attached to the Supreme Lord. So now was all that suffering which he went through at night to get to her, was all that ordained by his past karma? Being buffeted by the storm and being so close to a snake, about to be bitten by the snake and all that which he went through? No, it was not. It was something which he chose to do in this lifetime. So if we become attached, certainly our suffering will end. Therefore, we should not become attached. That's one teaching. Second teaching is that we shouldn't over-endeavor too much for material pleasure, because the overall quantity is fixed. In both these cases, the central focus is karma. If you try to shift the focus from karma to destiny, we will end up in confusion. All the Vedic scriptures, whatever the teachings about karma and destiny are, they are essentially intended to help us to choose our duty properly. If we shift from what we can know and do to that which we can't know clearly and that which we can't do much about, we will end up confusing ourselves too much. So Krishna has already told that the working of karma in details we cannot know. So all these instructions, how do we reconcile these two instructions? By understanding that both those instructions are meant to inspire us to stick to the path of duty. So Balde Vidya Bhushan used the example that some places scriptures say that I am, and that the soul is not the doer. Some other places scriptures say that the soul is the doer. So that's an example of a woodcutter cutting wood is given for that purpose. He's cutting with the axe, but it is he who is cutting. So similarly, the soul acts. The soul acts through material nature. So, when these sort of statements are given in the scriptures, the emphasis on what the soul's duty is. So, the soul is becoming intoxicated by the sense of controllership and is forgetting its duty. At that time, he's told, "You are not the doer. You are the material nature is the doer. So, don't get intoxicated." On the other hand, the scriptures say that you have to take responsibility. It is for you to do the right action, as Krishna tells us at the end of the Bhagavad-gita. You have to decide now, actually. So that is for the soul to take up responsibility and make the right choices. So both philosophical perspectives are ultimately meant to help the soul arrive at the right course of action. So it is not that either side is the absolute truth. They are true, but they are true as subsets of a broader true scriptural purpose. So same way, here also, when the focus is on the mechanisms of material nature in the concept of destiny, then when you focus on the mechanisms of material nature, at that time, the quantum of happiness and distress that we will get in this lifetime is fixed. But then we are also sentient souls who choose to act in various ways. And depending on how we act, we get certain results, certain reactions. So those can come either in next life or they can come in this life also. So now, rather than getting into the intricacies of whether everything is fixed or everything is not fixed based on this life's karma, we reconcile the two by understanding the underlying purpose, that is, to inspire us to stick to the path of duty. So when the scriptures say that total quantity of our happiness and distress is fixed, that is to inspire us to not give up the path of dharma for the sake of sense gratification. Similarly, when the scriptures tell us
And the more we become attached to sense gratification, the more we will suffer. That is also to inspire us to not give up the path of dharma for the sense gratification. So in this case, in this way, best to focus on this ultimate purpose, then we will know what is to be done. Because there are many issues in scriptures which are, as Krishna's scripture is Gahana, they are complex for us to understand. But the broad principle of what we need to do and how we need to reconcile these, and that is clear, and there is not so much confusion.
From what I understood, right?